Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I'm very excited. We talk a lot on this show about what is happening to the jobs market, what is happening to America in terms of work ethic. The whole DEI thing has thrown things upside down. And one person out there is trying to make a big difference in that realm. And I'm excited to welcome Andrew Krapuschets from Red Balloon Recruiters. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Yay. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you. I've been aware of what you've been doing for a long time. And the more I look and see what's going on out there, not just with obviously very fake job numbers, but with an overall sense of people not wanting to work, and then having a government that is kind of telling people they don't have to work, or saying, you know what, I know you signed on to take a loan for college, but don't worry about it. You don't have degrees that can do anything anyway. So, you know, we'll help you out here. It took me 22 years to pay off my student loans, but hey, you know, that's a different world. So Thank you for joining us. I want you to tell the audience a little bit about your background, then we'll get into what you're doing to try to make a difference in that, in the realm of work.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I appreciate it. And thanks for having me on the show. My background, I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. I was right in the heart of the .com, kind of late 90s, got to experience getting a ton of funding at a business that I was involved in, played really cool rounds of golf in Tokyo, and turned 21 on an expense account, like all the high flying Bay Area tech stuff. We didn't make any money, but we sure had a lot of time, fun. And then lo and behold, we ran out of money. And then the .com bubble burst in 2000. I got tired of traffic and liberals, so I moved up to Idaho. And I now live on 60 acres with my 5 kids, 3 big dogs, and beautiful wife. We can see 100 miles from the front porch. So we are living the American dream. Here in Idaho, when I got here, though, there were no jobs, right? The advantage of San Francisco or New York or all these places, right? There's a lot of jobs. Yeah. So I'm like, well, I could either complain about that, or I could do something about that. And I took the latter. So I started creating businesses that created jobs for other people, because I feel like prosperity, hard work is really good for a person's soul, right? It builds dignity when you do a hard thing and you accomplish it. Nobody wants to do it going in. I mean, we all know this, like you go and do a workout, like nobody wants to start working out, but once you do it, you feel so much better about yourself. Well, or you injure yourself, which is actually more the case with me. But so you go and do a hard thing, you accomplish it, it builds dignity in the individual. And I knew that jobs that drove prosperity for individuals were going to be good for the community and good for those people's souls. So ta-da, I make jobs. So I made a 3D printing business that we ended up selling to Stryker Corporation. I helped start a student information software business that we sold to the employees so they could build wealth for their families. I helped start a book publisher, a whole variety of other businesses. But the big one was I started a labor market data company. We were focused on scraping job postings and profiles, understanding supply demand curves, all of that stuff. And we even tried to believe the government labor market data as much as we could. Anyway, take all this information. We help sell it to businesses, to universities, to all kinds of folks, and built a $50 million data business right here in Moscow, Idaho. Sold it a bunch of times, which is really fun because you get a big check. Not fun when they then control the business and decide that you're too conservative and Christian for their liking, and they kick you out. So in 2020, when the world lost their mind around COVID and BLM and George Floyd and all the things, my board decided that I was just the wrong person to lead this business that was growing quickly and making a ton of money. They were like, we were printing cash for them, but they just didn't want that. They wanted me to have a social media profile with a black square. Right. So I did that exit. I'm doing housing development. I've got commercial properties, and I was going to take a year off. And a friend's like, you're being lazy, because there's a lot of Americans that are going to be given the same choice that you were given. They're going to be given a choice between their job and their values. And you've been given the skills and ability to build a job board at scale that will be a blessing to those people. And so that's where redballoon.org came from. My personal story and just a desire to drive prosperity for individuals and let people be free at work. because we know if they're free at work, they're going to have an opportunity to be free in other aspects of their lives. And Mel, I will tell you, it has been a party and a half for 2.5 years. We have gone from nothing to over 4,000 businesses that are part of the platform, 2 million job seekers. We're now doing recruiting services for hundreds of businesses. And we do a Freedom Economy Index with Public Square. I could go on and on. We're having a great time.
It's amazing. Yeah, go ahead.
But it's so fun. But the most important thing is I have gotten hundreds of thank you notes from perfect strangers saying, I have found a new job through redballoon.work and it has changed the trajectory of my family, or it has saved my marriage, or I'm going to church again. So we're really having a deep impact on the lives of individuals, of Americans, by just helping them find a job where they can be free. So I'll stop there. But anyway, yeah, there's my awesome story. I'm sticking with it.
But this is a very important story, and more important than people can even imagine, because what we do have is a push towards Marxism, communism, this idea that universal basic income is the future, that AI is taking over, which is a lot of propaganda, convincing people not to even try anymore or to give up where they are. And so what I did want to ask you, because you do follow this data, is the work numbers that are coming out of this administration do not make sense to me. And then when you're seeing also the tremendous amount of work that it appears is going to the new illegals that have become the priority of this administration, you wonder, what are the real job numbers? What is the real unemployment numbers? This cannot be possible, especially looking at the economy. So what are we looking at in the American job market from a real point of view of somebody that actually looks at this every day?
Yeah. So there are a lot of numbers, unfortunately, that have been politicized coming out of the BLS and the BEA and the census. And that's sad, because those used to be organizations that you could just rely on. They were accountants. They were just counting the jobs. They weren't trying to push a political agenda. But shockingly enough, the Biden administration, nothing is out of bounds for them. Yeah. And so we do think that there is some silliness there. We see a lot of massive revisions. We see some seasonal adjustments that are tricky. But what I will tell you is that small businesses in America, and this is data that we know we can trust because we collect it with Public Square, small businesses in America, they are in a wait and see pattern right now. So we asked our businesses how much they are investing right now, and they said very little. Many of them are hiring, but they're hiring to replace staff. They're not hiring to grow right now. So they're basically waiting in this wait and see. Last year, many of our businesses said that they had to take on debt to keep the business going. And we know the interest rates are not what any of us would like right now for that. We asked our businesses, like, how are you feeling? And they're like, exhausted. Right. We are trying to take responsibility for our business, for our employees, for our family, for our community in a lot of ways. And they are just feeling exhausted. The amount of headwinds that the Biden administration keeps putting in front of small businesses is overwhelming, and it's wearing them out. So that, I think, is what's happening right now. You know, we asked a lot of our businesses about this Gen Z, right? These younger generation. This is a generation that, look, they have grown up on social media. They have a distorted view of work, of reality in a lot of ways. And we asked our employers, how do you feel about hiring these folks? And they gave them a very poor scorecard. Right. They basically said, these are the people who are most likely to have a mental health issue in the workplace. Right. We're going to bring a lawsuit in the workplace, who are going to not be reliable, not show up and make a toxic workplace. Well, that's sad, because that is the next generation for America. They've grown up on social media. They've gone to the public school system that's been pushing an agenda down their throat. And if they make it to university, many of our employers are like, look, we don't want a bachelor's degree from a mainstream university. We don't want a Harvard degree, because right, all that is that tells you that this is an anarchist who has been trained by Marxists to destroy institutions. And my business feels a lot like an institution. So I'd like to not hire them and pay them to destroy my business. So that's what these businesses are feeling today with the labor market. If you look at red states right now, I do believe that the unemployment rate is low. Businesses are struggling to find good, talented people to show up and work. There are something like, if you believe the numbers, 18% of working age men are not even trying to participate in the labor market. And that's not a politicized number because the Biden administration doesn't understand all the numbers I'm going to just point out. But that one is kind of down deep in the report. But the reality is these are people who either have an addiction to drugs or video games or are being paid by our government to not work.
Right.
Well, that's going to have a huge impact on the economy. The last thing I'll say is on immigration. And this is obviously we need to secure our border. We need to stop the illegal immigration. But we know that the two most expensive inputs to every economy are labor and energy, right? Labor and energy drive the cost of almost everything, because whether you're growing bananas or building transformers, you need to truck them places. You need to use energy and labor for all of those things. So energy and labor, the two most important and expensive inputs of any economy. Well, the Biden administration has done a good job making energy hard to get and very expensive, and that's going to drive inflation. But labor is an interesting one, because I do think that employers, whether it's right or wrong, are utilizing this illegal talent that's coming across the border, not all of it, but some of it. And that is actually holding prices down on some things. I think we would have even more wild inflation if it weren't for the cheap labor, cheap illegal labor right, coming across the border. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I do think that that's a factor that's happening in our labor market right now, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, all of it's a mess, but it's still interesting what's going on.
Yeah, and we do need to know that. I mean, we need to know real information. Right now, we're learning about the whole census and what's going on with districts and with voting and all of that, that they're counting, you know, they're not really separating out illegals from legals and all kinds of stuff. And so we get all this convoluted data that's not really real. So it is important to realize what you're saying. Now, the one thing I have noticed, and a lot of people during the lockdowns of COVID, we were in New York, it was especially bad and long, but a lot of people felt that that was a war. A big part of that was also a war on the middle class. I mean, we had the essential businesses, of course, got to stay open. The big box stores got to stay open. But where I was, it was the mom and pop stores, the small businesses that closed, that a lot of them did not reopen, especially in New York City, and are still vacant. And one thing that appears to also be part of that, this war on the middle class, is that when things did reopen, it appears that since Joe Biden and his SEC and the FinCEN, that they've added all these new regulations where people have to report things they never had to report before. And it seems like the same thing that kind of happened in 2008 after the bank crash. Then the banks that were too small to save, like Rob's bank, well, next thing you know, there's all these new regulations that nobody knows how to do. They have to hire new people to just keep up. Is that also happening to the middle class? Because that's what I hear is going on now with lots of new regulations that they never had before and don't even make sense.
Yeah. So yes, it is. But it's more state dependent on that. So the federal regulations are bad, but the state regulations are horrible. And depending on the state, right? If you're in New York or Illinois, Michigan, California, Washington, Oregon, we'll call it a lot of the border blue states. It is really hard to run a business. It's really hard to start a business. The amount of overhead just to keep up with taxes and regulation is just overwhelming. I know that I used to run a business, and when we opened, when we had our first California employee, I almost had to hire a half-time accountant just to keep up on the regulation for that one employee in the state of California.
Oh, wow.
So and that's an overhead that you don't see necessarily, you don't feel, right? But so if you're in those states, the overhead of just trying to keep up with the stupidness can be overwhelming. And that's why the silver lining of COVID has been that a lot of those businesses are actually going to red states where they can be free, right? They're going where, and what happened during COVID? Well, you had a lot of money being sent towards big box stores, big businesses, big tech, Amazon, Zoom. They all made out like bandits with a lot of government money and a lot of cash going their direction, right? Yeah. Really hard on small businesses. And you all of a sudden had this remote workforce that was leaving the big cities. So if you're a small conservative business in Boston, for instance. Your best workers are now leaving Boston because they don't want to be there because they're going to try and raise their family and they're allowed to use work remote now.
Right.
The big businesses are getting all of the talent in those cities. And so what are you going to do? Well, you're going to move somewhere. You're going to move somewhere where you can be free, whether it's, again, Idaho or Texas or Florida or some of the Carolinas. Well, what does that do? Well, that drives an economic shift that makes it so that the blue states are going to continue to struggle. It's kind of this vicious circle,
yeah,
and it's this virtuous circle in the red states. So in the latest tax year, again, if you believing the data or not, coming out of the IRS, $19 billion of annual taxable income left the state of New York, wow, and went to Florida. Right. These are people who are high earners, who are tired of the taxes and the regulation. They're tired of getting knifed in the subway or just on the street. You know, we saw the CEO of Citadel who said, you know, who was earning $500 million a year, left Chicago. And they said, why are you leaving? He's like, well, the obvious suspects of taxes and regulation, but having my executives mugged regularly outside the office doesn't help. Right.
Exactly.
And so goes down to Miami. Well, $500 million from one person of annual taxable income. What does that do to the budget of Illinois and Chicago? And what does that do to the budget of Miami and Florida?
Right.
Well, you're going to see the tale of two economies start to continue to develop in our country right now. So anyway, I think there's a silver lining because a lot of the people in the left blue states are going to have to eat their own cooking when they're can't balance their budget. Their highest earners, their hardest workers are all leaving. That's going to have economic consequences. At some point, they just can't make the bills work.
Right. Yeah. And that's happening already. Now, we've had the advent and this craziness, especially since the George Floyd incident, of DEI and this explosion of companies all over the country hiring basically in the C-suite, diversity, equity, inclusion officers all over the country. Some of them are making more than, you know, the VP of a giant company. In comes this diversity, equity, inclusion. And what I'm hearing, especially from friends of mine that work in finance, but also some law firms, other places, that this new, I guess, hiring situation, that there's quotas and all of this. And what is happening is that they're hiring unqualified people or people that really don't have big resumes or whatever the case may be. And they're coming in and then they're the people that are qualified and have been there for a long time are being brought down. And the quality of work first of all, the time that needs to be put in, but the quality work is going lower. And yet at the same time, there's some kind of quota situation going on, especially when it's a corporation, that they just won't even acknowledge that there's an issue. That probably has a lot to do with people going to Red Balloon to find companies and also to recruit talent. But what is going on with this DEI kind of new executive suite quota situation, and how bad is it hurting businesses?
It is very bad. And I'll give you a couple of examples, and I want you to know, like, you know, a lot of people say, well, it's just because I'm not a racist. Well, you can't prove that you're not a racist. And I believe that it actually is very racist, the DEI policies that are being pushed right now, because what they're doing is they're saying, I'm going to value someone based on who their parents are, what their skin color is, rather than their skill by the merit that they bring, the value that they bring to the company. And there's stories coming out where Wells Fargo Bank was interviewing Black females, even though they didn't have a job, so that they could check their box on the quota of how many people that to show that they don't have systemic racism.
Wow.
Well, instead, right, how cruel is it to interview someone for a job when you have no intention to hire them? You have no job for them.
That's
to
awful.
Even, so no matter how good they are, this is going to happen. Well, the problem is then if you do hire someone who is Black, then everyone around them thinks, oh, you're not actually that good at your job. You actually just got that job because of your skin color, which also should be false, right?
Right.
Because everyone should be based, as a wise man once said, I have a dream about people who are valued based on their skin color, based on the quality of their character, not
right,
the color of their skin,
yeah,
right? And DEI flies in the face of that. It's saying, no, we are going to value people based on their skin color. And this wokeness in the workplace, people feel like, well, is that just a straw man? Is that really a thing? But I will tell you, we get stories all the time of people who are being told, look, if you don't use the right pronoun for your coworker, you're going to get fired, right? There was Starbucks recently let a girl go. And I think it was in North Carolina, successful barista, a wonderful Black lady, and she would not use the made up pronouns of a coworker,
right.
And she got fired over that, right? Well, pronouns aren't a bad thing, but they've now been turned, you know, we learned about pronouns in kindergarten for crying out loud, but they have been used as a bludgeoning device against conservatives. And so when you have a workplace that is more focused on DEI or CRT or any of these things than actually doing your job, that workplace is going to fail. Another example of this is Silicon Valley Bank. So I talked to people who left Silicon Valley Bank. And they said they had weekly microaggression training. They were being told constantly that you're a systemic racist and you're doing microaggressions anytime you criticize someone. Well, the problem is these people also said, and we saw the credit risk. We knew that the bank was going to fail, but we knew that if we talked to someone about it, it would be considered a microaggression.
Wow.
And therefore, they were not willing to take or give criticism at any level. Well, if you're any business that is so focused on something other than your business that you can't take or give criticism, you can't innovate, you can't give input, it's just a matter of time until you're going to fail as a business. Well, you now multiply that across the entire country, and we have lots of publicly traded businesses who believe that their first priority is not their business, but something other than their business, DEI. That will have an enormous and negative impact on the economy, right? Yeah. We found that in 2021, I believe, or 2022 alone, $8 billion was spent on DEI training, on DEI consultants by corporations in America. And that doesn't even include the productivity loss, the morale kick in the pants that is. Like, it is very frustrating that these businesses are doing it. Now, I'm an optimist, though, and I'm going to give you a silver lining. So The Supreme Court tells Harvard, you can't use affirmative action anymore. You can't allow people into the college based on their skin color. Well, corporations were paying attention to that. And I have talked to many corporations many people at corporations who said, yeah, we're starting to think about getting rid of our DEI officer because it's going out of vogue because we saw what the Supreme Court did to the higher education world and the principles apply. That's going to happen in the corporate world. Additionally, when your business is struggling, it's funny how you stop focusing on the latest political correctness and instead you focus on sales and customer delivery and proper accounting and marketing. And so we're seeing that as well. And so luckily, Biden has made the economy so hard for businesses that they have to focus on their business and can't spend all their time and energy on DEI. That's my one silver lining. So there's my one optimistic twist. But otherwise, it's pretty bad stuff.
Now, what I see going on also, and we have a friend whose son is a college student, a white male, and wanted to do an internship. I did a bunch of internships. Yeah. I was lucky. I was in New York City. It was great. You know, you had your pick of all the best businesses in the world. I was in entertainment, so internships were the best. But the big five accounting firms apparently have DEI requirements for their internships, which is where a lot of people really learned. I learned more in my internships than I did sitting in a class. And basically, it is for everyone except for white college males. And I'm assuming that this is going also into the workforce, and it's very blatantly obvious. They don't say no white men. They just say we prefer all this other stuff and white men need not apply. So a lot of those people probably are becoming clients of yours because this seems to be that not only is it being allowed, but it seems to be becoming the norm all the way we would think internships. Why would they care? You're trying to help a college student. Not every college student actually wants to, you know, do that. But now they're cutting it out and they're not giving you that job experience. Because then when you go on to get a job, you say, I interned here or here. And that like looks good. And they're not doing that. So tell me a little bit about the white males, especially ones that are, you know, don't have a resume and are trying to get out there and they can't get jobs.
Yeah. I mean, the good news is that's where redballoon.work comes in, right? Because those businesses, they care about merit. They care about work, looking people in the eyes, delivering great value for your customers. Those are the things that the businesses on Red Balloon care about. They don't care about these other things, but you're absolutely right. Internships are bad, but I have heard from many, many white males. And if you throw in that you're Christian or right. Jewish or religious in any way, right. then it's a triple negative. So those are the type of people that a lot of these large corporations just don't want. The good news is supply and demand matters. And so if I'm a small business, like, well, that means that I might get a better deal on a great employee who is a religious white male. And so, you know, which is kind of a funny, again, this is my silver lining side of
it's
it.
So but, crazy. I can't even believe we're talking about this. I do think that it really is hitting the level of snapback where it's going to really start to show itself. But, you know, at the same time, thank God that you guys came out. When I first heard about you about a year ago, I thought, oh my God, that's such a good idea. But at that point, they weren't so in your face, but we have seen a bunch of lawsuits going down, especially America First Legal. Stephen Miller has filed a lot of lawsuits because this is illegal. We had the 1964 Civil Rights Act. So we're also in this post-constitution world where people's civil rights aren't being, you know, even respected in the least. But another thing that's happening, I wanted to ask you about that I'm hearing is going on is like this constant surveying and constant of these corporations and constant, like you talked about the micromanagement class, but where now that's part of your job is to attend these seminars constantly like taking surveys on your thoughts about things. It's like they're trying to mentally and psychologically control the employees and kind of rate them. Like they're, you know, we all have heard about the social credit score and the CBDC being programmable tokens. And obviously Larry Fink's ESG score, which I'll ask you about in a minute, but are you hearing about this internal, constantly an ongoing situation where people are constantly being, it seems, kind of checked to make sure that they're, you know, walking the line?
Yeah. Toeing the party line. Crazy. Absolutely. Yeah. And DEI obviously is part of ESG, which we can unpack a little bit. So what's happening is DEI is actually an interesting thing because, these corporations that are putting their employees through the DEI training, it's sometimes it's surveys, but often it's a DEI class that is mandatory for all employees. And then there's a test at the end that you have to take that test. And if you answer wrong, and we'll call that wrong answer, reality, because you realize that it doesn't make sense at all. But if you answer wrong, then you're going to be written up by HR, right? And you would be surprised some of the stories I've heard where someone says something that's outside of you know, the party line, and they're called in by HR and frog march to the door.
Yeah.
They absolutely are pushing their worldview. And I would say DEI, if you're religious, it is a liturgy. It is designed to make you think a certain way.
Yeah.
And part of the reason I know that is because I have now received hundreds of unsolicited thank you notes from people at Red that who've gotten jobs through Red Balloon. And what they said is they didn't realize how much when you're swimming in woke waters for 8 to 10 hours a day, they didn't realize how much it impacted their thinking, not only about their work and their coworkers, but about every person in their life, about the country, about the fake news, about politics, about how they should vote. This is in the same way that they are in the public schools trying to indoctrinate the kids to think a certain way so that they can keep the left in power. The DEI training, I believe, is designed to make people think a way that will have Democrats stay in power forever.
Right. Demoralization. It's like that Yuri Bezmenov interview where he talks about demoralization, dehumanization, crisis, normalization. It's communist indoctrination. And the scary part is I brought up Larry Fink. I talk about him a lot on the show because I think he's one of the architects. He's obviously not just the head of BlackRock that controls most of the corporations at the top level, but also a board member at the World Economic Forum, very heavy into the Great Reset, Build Back Better. He's the first one that basically said if BlackRock owns a big chunk of BlackRock and Vanguard of your company, you got to start doing this ESG and impact investing, all of this stuff. But it looks like there is pushback, but it's a failed system and people are starting to realize it because there is also a social credit aspect to it that has nothing to do with profitability. And it flies in the face of of what a business is supposed to be about. And Larry Fink knows it. He actually said in an interview, we had the corporations, of course, this is, you know, actual fascism. The corporations have to take the welfare of the community, and we need to change behaviors. And he had this speech I talk about a lot. Before COVID in Jackson Hole, he did a speech called Going Direct, where he told everyone basically the banks and the corporations should be skipping the government and the, you know, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and going right for the people to kind of mold right. society. I mean, this is totally outrageous. And yet nobody's done anything about BlackRock and the ridiculous amount of power. I think he's the most powerful person with a few other bankers in America right now. I call the people running America the public-private parent company above our government. But, right. you know, what is the impact of this mindset coming from the very top of Wall Street, and you know, they run a lot of the pensions, so then they control that too. I mean, how damaging has this been? Because you've been in this industry a long time.
Yeah, and I've been talking to people in these spaces, and the reality is, if you're an executive at a business that is publicly traded or not publicly traded, but has any stake in BlackRock has a stake in that business, they are going to use their position to push their agenda on you. Right. And they're going to and they're smart. They know you get more of what you incentivize and you get less of what you penalize. And so they're going to incentivize people to follow this ESG, this environmental social governance, which at the end of the day is a Marxist worldview. There's no way around it. And they want to be in a position of power. And if they force these businesses to think like this, if they set up incentive plans, and I think that's the thing that actually changes the way people think, they set up an incentive plan so that you as an executive get a large bonus right. if you check all the right ESG boxes, whether it's pushing an environmental agenda, whether it's hitting your DEI quota, because they're going to put DEI kind of under the S, under the social aspect of it, and say, look, you have to check these DEI boxes. ESG is, again, it's designed to change the thinking of people in the corporations. And if you read Vivek Ramaswamy's book about, you know, the woke capitalism, a lot of that you trace back to, 2008 is when things really took off on this kind of craziness. And I think a lot of these corporations realize, you know, we have a lot of power, and if we can push an agenda through this, and I've talked to people, I ran a business once that was trying, a major social media platform was trying to buy us. And he didn't know that I was a conservative and a Christian. He just knew that, you know, I ran a successful business. And he's like, man, what I love about being in social media is you can really push your personal agenda. And he was a total communist. Like he was bad news. And it's just like, no, they have an agenda. They're pushing it. And the problem is, Val, conservatives and Christians, we tend to just kind of be live and let live. Like right. you do you, I'll do me. I'm just going to raise my family. I'm going to run my business. Right. I don't need to push my worldview down your throat. But the left does not believe that. They believe that their job is to push their worldview down your throat, down your kids' throats, and make you think differently. And so what they're doing in the corporation, which is obviously my world, is designed to make the workers think differently. And so if you're in a job and you're like, well, I've just gone through 9 DEI trainings, but it's not having any impact on me, that's wrong. It is designed to have an impact on you in a way that you cannot tell. And I know this because when people get out of those jobs and they find a job through Red Balloon, they're like, oh, I had no idea the brainwash that I was in the middle of and just doing my job at a Microsoft or an Amazon right, or Hewlett Packard, right? And you think, I'm just an engineer. I'm just doing my job. No, you are being brainwashed. They're trying to change the way you think. And it takes a very special individual to be able to hold the line on what they believe when you're in an environment where everyone is pushing back the other direction. So my encouragement to people is always, well, stand up, be brave, break the spell for everybody else. It'll probably cost you your job, and then come over to Red Balloon, get a new job, and you're going to have a happier life. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, and I think people have to stop thinking I'm just a cog in the wheel, so I'll just put my head down and ignore it. Because what I have heard, a couple of my friends still work in Hollywood, and they've been doing that for a long time. I left, but I mean, it was always like that, but it's really, really bad now. And a lot of these people didn't want to get the vaccine, and they didn't want to do this and that, so they're getting fake vaccine cards, and they're keeping their heads down, and they're not saying anything. And over time, that eats away at your self-esteem and your self-worth, and people don't realize the long-term losses. And a good friend of mine said to to me recently. I said, I can't believe you're still working there. That's amazing. How do you deal with it? And that's the person also, this is a major media company. They give out surveys that you have to take, like you'll get it in the email and it'll be like some kind of survey. Like,
yeah. Do you believe in this?
You have to take it. And I'm like, what are you just lying? And she's like, yeah, but that eats away at your soul to not be yourself. And also working at it, because like you said before, you're working at a company, especially like if you're somebody that's very skilled, been in a business for 20 years, you see real quick the mistakes or whatever, and you're too scared to say it because of that. I mean, this is just, like you said, it's Marxist indoctrination. It's coming through. It's fascism because it's coming through the extraordinary control that BlackRock and Vanguard and a couple other firms have over a lot of these corporations. And like you said, the incentives are given to the CEOs that make millions of dollars that are not on the ground every day, right, taking surveys and lying and knowing that it's justifying to themselves that they have to lie just to keep their job that they really just want to do.
Yeah. Well, and the reality is, imagine think about your workplace. What if everyone all of a sudden decided to live their values out loud? I think you'd find that 85% of the people in the work environment are actually just normal Americans who think this stuff is crazy and they're just keeping their head down.
Right.
And if everyone does that, what happens is it gives courage to everyone around you. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think your point is really important. When you think you're just a cog in the wheel, when you think like, well, I'm banking a paycheck, but you know, whatever, then you are taking away the power that you were given. We're Americans. We were given inalienable rights.
Right.
And those rights were not given us by the government. They were given to us by God. And so when you stand up for your rights that, again, are beyond the government, that are beyond your business, and just live your values out loud, you don't have to push everything down their throat. You don't have to push your worldview down their throat. But when you just stand up and be brave, you would be shocked at the positive impact it will have on your workplace.
Yeah.
And if everybody does that, do you realize how fast America changes? When all of a sudden the people who are doing the crazy things, everyone realizes, oh, they're like 2%.
Right.
Like, why are we listening to these people?
I totally agree with that. It's such a manipulation, but so many people right now are lying to go along to get along. Or people think people are good people. I saw a whole exchange with Mark Cuban I don't need to get into how he actually made his money, but it's not what people think. And then he's on the Shark Tank and he's doing this cameo and that cameo, whatever. But he's talking about how good it is. He has no concept of what he's talking about. What is interesting is that it really imploded when the ceasefire now Palestinian marches that really imploded on Ivy League campuses. And then all of a sudden you had a lot of these donors, the donors from these Ivy League schools that are, you know, big hedge fund guys or, you know, own big corporations, CEOs coming out and being like, what is going on? As if it hasn't been going on for years.
For sure.
Suddenly they're aware and now they want to jump into it. And it's like, but you've been not looking at this and you allowed this to get here. And what's happening now is these kids are coming out. I feel like I call it the poison Ivy League. I feel like if I was an employer, and I'm going to ask you about this in a second, and I saw something come through from Harvard or say, if I saw something come through from Columbia Journalism School, I actually went to NYU for journalism. So I'd feel the same way about that. I'd think, well, I can hire this person because they've been told everything that I disagree with is real. And you know, in journalism schools now, they're teaching like how to spot fake news as an actual class. Like people are idiots. And that's the other thing. It's the dumbing down of society, the dumbing down from the inside out. And then the other thing is that people are getting promoted and the people that are below them that are not getting the promotions based on race or DEI have superior skills, but then they're pushed down and they can't say anything or they might get in trouble. And, you know, what you're doing is you're stealing somebody's like gift. I always say that everyone right now, we're in such a crazy period in history that right now everyone has these gifts from God, that these unique talents that they're born with in their DNA, and people should be finding ways to, you know, feed that, because entrepreneurship obviously is like on the chopping block, creativity, ingenuity, all these great things. And when you're taking somebody and you're pushing them down and you're putting somebody that's not qualified above them, which we're seeing with all these lawsuits with these DAs, and you're like, what in God's name? How is that person running the? But imagine when it's a superior a boss or a supervisor that you know is well below your skill set and you can't say anything. It must be like demoralizing to such a level. And I guess those are the people that come to Red Balloon and say, I can't take it anymore.
That's exactly right. I talked to one CEO of actually pretty large companies that I'm only afraid of two people at my company, the chairman of the board and the head of HR.
Right.
And so we've turned corporations on their head. It's going to have to have an impact, right? We talk about Silicon Valley Bank. We talk about all these other things. You talk about these universities. So we asked our businesses in this FEI, they are not interested in hiring people who have a bachelor's degree from a mainstream university.
Right.
It just is not a good idea to hire someone who hates your worldview, who hates America, who does not believe in meritocracy. Why would we hire those people? Well, that's a sad commentary on America, because that's America's future.
Yeah, it's terrible.
My hope is that what COVID has done, what the acceleration of the craziness has made people see what their agenda actually is, at least some people, not everybody. A lot of people are still asleep in our society.
Has there been an uptick in lawsuits within corporations and businesses from people, woke people that feel that they're not saying the pronouns right? Or I had a friend at a very high level at a alcohol liquor company. She's been there for 20 years. She commented, I guess somebody below her. She commented like on her hair. She was a black girl with really nice braided hair. She commented on her hair and something else. And she got called into HR and said that she was a racist. And basically like, this woman's not racist at all. And had her job threatened, had to take a week off to examine that. And the HR lady told her that they had to talk the girl out of suing the company.
Right. Right. Unfortunately, labor-based lawsuits have doubled in the last 2 years. And over the last 5 years, 75% of businesses in America have either had a labor lawsuit or have been threatened with a labor lawsuit. And the primary driver of that is people who feel like they're not being respected because they're trans or they're, you know, accusing the corporation of systemic racism or any of these things. Right. And if you're a business, it's terrifying to hire an American.
Right.
Because you ask the wrong questions in an interview, you get yourself a lawsuit. But if you don't ask those questions, you end up with a bad culture fit who is going to destroy your business.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get a lawsuit. Right. Yeah. And so like, which one do you want, actually?
Exactly. How sad. I mean, it's so upside down. I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing. The last thing I wanted to ask you, I did a whole show probably a year and a half ago on human rights campaign and NGOs like that. So Human Rights Campaign has a corporate equality index and all of the, and they're all basically BlackRock corporations, but most people don't know that like you and I do. And if they get 100%, and this is the LGBTQ plus
alphabet
scale, rating scale. And now they use it in their, you know, how they used to use like, where the top 100 in U.S. News and World Report place to work. Now they're using it. If you Google some companies, it's like we got 100% from Human Rights Campaign.
Yeah,
and then you look at the money behind it, and it's these globalist great resetters that are funding this Human Rights Campaign and Tides Foundation. So it's also these operatives that are very political using that whole thing. And then these corporations are like out there like, look, we got the score. And then they can do the opposite. The Human Rights Campaign can say to a conservative company without them asking, because it appears that they go rate companies without them wanting to. And they also have the same thing, another NGO that's terrible, I can't remember the name right now, where they're doing the same thing with advertisers, where they like tell advertisers like, no, this company is totally racist or whatever. So there's this new fake, it's just like the fake fact checkers. There's like a rating system for businesses. How damaging is that? And have you talked to anyone that has been affected by that nonsense?
Well, I mean, we have doxing in our society right now, obviously, like in the famous ones, the cancel culture coming out of YouTube or, Google, any of those types of things. Yeah. It only matters if your customers care or if your shareholders care. Right. And so if you get rated very poorly, I am sure that Red Balloon would get a terrible rating on all those things. And the worst part is, and this is what really bothers me. So human rights, am I a fan of human rights? Absolutely. Are you a fan of human rights? Absolutely. In fact, that is a very religious mindset principle, and they're using those words to mean something entirely different, right? And that's the problem is like, because if you are an uninformed person and they're like, hey, you got a bad rating for human rights. I'm like, well, I'm into human rights. I should fix that. Like, you feel bad, right? Because the words they're using, not because of the meaning. And so words matter. But the reality is, as long as you're educated and like, I am sure that Red Balloon has a terrible rating on all of those sites.
Good. And I want to work with you. I have a terrible rating too. Believe me, I'm a medium. ADL Media Matters. I say nothing about anything that they say, but you know what? That's okay. Because you know what? Like you said, I do think there's a big reckoning coming. And
there's a reckoning coming, but the power that they have is only if you care.
I know. Right? And the power that they have is only if we care, but also like we're saying, it's also, there's millions of people out there that don't agree with any of this, but they're keeping their heads down. And more people like you and I have to just keep saying it's empowering. What it sets off inside of you, like courage is contagious. I say a lot, what it sets off inside of you, but what happened to us, especially during the ridiculous draconian lockdowns in New York City, as you can see the people and you'll be like, I think those people are on our side, you know,
or
people will hear me talking somewhere and they'll be like, oh my God. And then it's one person. And then it's the whole, then it's the next guy. Then it's that guy. Then everyone's like, oh my God, thank God.
Wait, actually, we're all thinking clearly. And it's funny, you know, during those lockdowns, it was funny because we would go to the grocery store. We'd never wear a mask. Right. And I told my kids, if anyone bothers you, just stare at them. Give them the old, you know, like you're staring at a shark in the water. Like give them the old stare. They'll walk away. It'll be fine. But we did this one time and this like totally tatted up biker dude who also didn't have a mask on. He's like, Hey, if anybody gives you any grief, man, I'm going to beat them within an inch of their life. And he yelled this really loud.
Right, but that's how it worked.
Those are my people now. Well, there we are.
Exactly. Now, let's talk a little bit about Red Balloon itself, because I wanted to have you on, because I do have a lot of friends that have businesses out there.
Yeah.
They're very scared to hire people because right now it is, like you said, everyone's getting sued for ridiculous stuff. People are scared. They're not expanding their businesses. So how does it work? And also I want to thank you because Rob and I are excited because we brought you on as a partner too. So I want everyone to know that you can go to the MelKayShow.com partners page and check out Red Balloon. So I want to hear both sides of the business. So I have a business. I've already had several problems trying to hire people that, you know, either quit right away. They show up at 10 in the afternoon, 10 in the morning, and they're supposed to be there at 8 and they're like, so what, you know, whatever. So I'm gone through this. Right. I've had it. I don't know what to do. I'm still using the regular recruiters. I come to you. What do I have to do? What do you tell me?
Yeah, absolutely. That's so Red Balloon is the nation's leading pro freedom job board. So we have thousands of job postings. We have new employers coming on every single day posting jobs. And that part of the business continues to grow and hum along. So if you want to go check it out, everything's free to a job seeker. So if you're awesome. A job seeker, you fill out your profile. There's a lot of great resources on there. There's an employee bill of rights and responsibilities can download from free, written by our labor lawyer. So ton of free resources. We encourage you to go to redballoon.work. If you're an employer, you can post jobs and get access to the best people. But something that we've started doing in the last year that's actually been a huge blessing is I used to use recruiters, and there's some really great recruiters out there, but all of them are expensive. And they are the incentive structure for recruiters is to bring you an expensive person as quickly as possible, because they get a percentage of that first year salary, right? They're commission only effectively. And so we thought, you know, what's a different way for us to do recruiting? Because I was talking to a business and he just hired a $120,000 marketing person, paid a 33% finder's fee. So he wrote a $40,000 check and didn't love the process. He didn't have any visibility into it. He just felt like the recruiter met this person 20 minutes earlier on LinkedIn and he had to write a $40,000 check, right? Wow. That's frustrating. And so what Red Balloon's done is we said, let's kind of turn recruiting on its head. Not only are we going to do the values alignment stuff. So what we do today is we charge $4,500, only $4,500 for a 2-month recruitment process. You're basically hiring us as a consultant. We're going to help come in and define the position and write the job posting, the job description. We will actually do a compensation review to tell you what the market's paying for that position. Then we go out and we start pitching your position to qualified individuals. We're going to use our database. We're going to use a bunch of other databases. Make sure we get good people. We're going to screen them for culture fit. And this is where we're going to save you from a huge law liability, where we are actually going to make sure that they're going to be a good fit for you. And they're going to be the type of people, they're going to build your culture, not destroy your culture. Everyone that we find through that process, we're going to bring to you for an immediate interview. But you're only talking to people who we know can do the job and are going to fit with the culture of your business. And this is all for that $4,500. And then when you hire one of those people, it's $2,000 success fee, because we want to celebrate that you just hired an awesome new person. Right. And so
that's a whole new model. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's exponentially cheaper than the average recruiter. And we can do it at that price because we're at the scale of a job board and because we have the systems and processes to deliver awesome people. We just placed the CFO for National Religious Broadcasters in DC. Wow. And so we've done everything from secretaries to CFOs because we want this quality of recruiting to be available to small businesses who maybe can't afford a $40,000 or $50,000 recruiter, but they know they want to get quality talent that's going to be a blessing to their business. So we have done this in a short amount of time for well over 100 businesses, and those businesses are raving about it, and they're coming back for other positions. So
yeah, and you're willing to ask the questions that people want to ask and are scared to ask too.
That's right. And we know how to. So we have a labor lawyer who puts our team through EEOC training all the time. We know what we're allowed to ask. We know how to filter. We know how to ask those right questions.
Right.
And so we're just going to take a huge burden off your shoulders for $4,500.
Right.
And you would spend more if you decided to hire an internal recruiter as a W-2 to do this.
Right.
We want to save you money. But we also want to bring you values-aligned people and give you the peace of mind that you're going to get good people at scale that are going to be a blessing to your business.
Now, let's say I'm a job seeker. You know, it's really hard also. I hate to dwell on the white males, but there's a lot of them in their 40s and 50s that, you know, are looking for jobs. There seem to be no jobs out there. That a lot of them are leaving the workforce in big numbers. So let's say I come to Red Balloon and I want to look around. What kind of jobs can I find there? Do you have everything on all different levels? Are you is it broken down by skill set and degree and experience, like everywhere? But tell anyone that's watching this that seems kind of hopeless that there is hope and there's something out there for them, and how to get to Red Balloon and what to look for, what to do.
Yeah. If it's encouraging to you, last time I checked, there were 51,000 open jobs on Red Balloon right now. And these are companies who are hiring based on meritocracy, based on the merit that you're going to bring, not based on your skin color, not based on your sexual orientation, not based on your political agenda, but based on, can you do the job? Will you work hard? And so if you're looking for that, then you have found the right place. And so those jobs range from technology jobs to media jobs. We have auto mechanic jobs on there. I would encourage you. And if you fill out your profile in Red Balloon, which again is free, then employers can find you. And as we're doing recruitment for our specific employers, we're going to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, we think we might have an opportunity for you. So even if you're in a job right now and you're like, I'm not actively looking, you put your resume on there. You're now as part of a database where we're going to be able to reach out to you, and you can be a passive job seeker. That's okay.
Right.
And you're not going to have to worry that your current employer is going to see your resume or see that you're searching. You're just going to be in a position where you might get an awesome job and you didn't have to work for it. It'd be great.
And you didn't have to lie. You could be yourself and be who you are, because I think there's a lot of lying going on in recruiting right now on both sides. And
unfortunately, that's a true story.
And once you get in there, so people know at least that if they're going to Red Balloon, they're going to a company that, you know, has values, is out there, is about freedom and liberty and truth and all the good things, and isn't playing along with this agenda. And I think that it's so awesome what you're doing. And I know you've helped so many people, and there are a lot of people that are hopeless out there that did not go back to jobs. Jobs are they're failing, whatever else. And you're giving a lot of people hope on both sides, as the business and as the employee. So I really, really love it. And I'm so grateful to be partnering with you, because I have so many people that write me letters. A lot of people lost their jobs during the vaccine stuff. A lot of people lost their jobs since. There's been a lot of layoffs. people get demoralized and you're giving people back hope. And that's the best thing in the world. So I just wanted to thank you again, everyone. You can go to the MelKayShow.com partners page. We got a link for Red Balloon right there. They are people that we really believe in. And we are also just really love aligning with people like you, Andrew, to build a, you know, this is the future. We can look at what we have, or we can start to innovate and build new things. I'm building the Mel Kay Show. So everyone, please do subscribe to the Mel Kay Show. Please go over to Red Balloon, check it out. If you know people hiring, even if you're not, tell your friends, tell your family. There is a recruiter for us. We are not being left out of the job market. There's just a better way to do it. We don't need to do it their way. There are new innovative ways being done, and Andrew is doing that. Thank you so much, Andrew, for being here. It's Red Balloon. Head over there, check it out right now. Again, he is a partner of the show. So if you do use Red Balloon, you're also helping the Mel Kay Show, which is awesome, and helping yourself. And then write me an email and let me know about your experience at Red Balloon. Let me know what you think of the site, what you're finding over there. If you're an employer and you're going over there and you find good recruits, please let me know, because we are teaming up and we're really going to try to get as many people hired at companies that they can be proud of. They can be themselves and they can thrive, and they can join other great patriots in rebuilding the workforce in America the right way. So Andrew, thank you again, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for having me, Mel. Always nice to see you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkayshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now. Great news, guys. We've been beta testing with my founding members, the Mel Kay Show, live on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. And it is going incredibly well. We have a community that we all connect. We can share information. Questions are asked of me, of other people. We share back and forth. This is really a place to go on Sunday nights. Get ready for the week, share what's working, what's not working, how we can make things better, how we can align with each other. Wherever you are in the country, there's many things you can do. So we've added locals now. So on locals, you can also join us on Sunday nights, or you can join members.themelkayshowlive.com. The members at MelKayShowLive.com is a community for you that continues 24/7, 7 days a week. We put up many different things there, ideas, documentaries that are great. People tell what they're doing in their local community. They can reach out to other people all over the country. It's kind of has a cool Facebook vibe, but it's really about community, fellowship, helping each other, organizing, all of that. You can also just join locals and join us on Sunday nights, where you can ask questions, interact with me. I'm going to have on some of my best guests. It's an incredible platform. It's just getting started. It's totally secure. And please join us Sundays at 7 p.m. locals or members.themelkayshowlive.com. I will see you there. This is so much fun, and I'm so grateful. And now we have a totally secure community where we can all interact while we are fighting this battle for freedom and our future. See you there.